I believe that it is God's plan and God's design that moms and dads love their children and help their children to grow, and that the children know that they are loved and help them to grow and teach them to be the young men and women that God had designed for them to be. But unfortunately, in our society, in our world, it doesn't always work that way. But if you go all the way back into the Old Testament, there was a daddy who tried to do just that with his kids. The daddy's name, it was Enoch. Enoch, he was the father of Methuselah. Methuselah was the oldest man who ever lived. He was the great-grandfather of Noah. And Noah was such a righteous man that God actually picked him to build this giant boat. And the boat, it was called an ark. And the ark, it carried all kinds of different animals. Methuselah and Noah, they grew up to be such great godly men, partly because Enoch was a great man. We are told that the one thing that Enoch liked to do, above everything else, it was to walk with God. In fact, Enoch walked with God so much, way too far to go back home. Why don't you just come with me? And so Enoch just went up into heaven with God, and he never died. Today, as we continue working our way through our summer series, which is children's stories, stories that you would have heard as a child in children's church or in Sunday school, we're working our way through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, which is the stories of faith. Today we're going to talk about Enoch. The title of the message is Walk Like a Man. Our scripture is actually found in two places. I'm going to ask you to stand for one of them. That's Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And the Hebrews part is actually just Hebrews 11, 5, and we'll get that to a couple moments and things. But Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 and 24 read, "When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away." Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now, I know that some of you, the handouts, some of you actually fill in the handouts. And so we're going to have to modify some of this and change some of this. The first fill in the blank on the handouts is graveyard. So for those of you who are doing it, it is graveyard. Someone actually once noted that Genesis chapter 5, the chapter that I just read for you, it is often called the graveyard chapter of Scripture. It tells us that Adam lived 930 years, and he had several sons and daughters, and then he died. And then Seth, he lived some 912 years, and he had sons and daughters. And then he died. And then Enosh, yes, Enosh, not Enoch, there was a guy named Enosh. Enosh lived 905 years, and he had several children, and then he died. And the list goes on and on. Eight men are actually listed within this chapter, and they all lived a long time. They had kids, they had children, and then they died. This is the graveyard chapter of Genesis, and everybody died. Well, they all died except for one man, Enoch. He didn't die. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God." All down through the ages, people have sought for the fountain of youth. There was Horatio, some guy back in the 5th BC who kind of started all this. There was Prester John in the 11th and 12th century. These men who are somehow trying to find the fountain of youth. Maybe someone more familiar to you is Ponce de Leon, the guy who traveled all the way to Florida to try to find the fountain of youth. He landed in Florida in 1513. It is called parabiosis. essentially older people, but older people who are rich, they would pay upward of $8,000. And you could have the plasma from a teenager injected into your blood system to help you to live longer. Yeah, it's weird when you think about it. The purpose of this is it kind of revitalizes your body parts. Revitalizes, it helps you to hopefully live longer. There was one company called Ambrosia. They actually had 80 people who were in line, in a waiting list, to have this procedure done for them. In Europe, there was a company where they were willing to replace your entire blood supply. Take all the old stuff out, put the new stuff in. It works on our cars, doesn't it? So why not on us? See, they believe that this will guarantee a longer or healthier life. But it's all bogus. That doesn't work. God has already determined when you are going to go, and no parabiosis or any of that other stuff is going to change any of that. But you see, the people, they had the money, and they thought it was worth the chance. And so, hey, why not? Let's give it a shot and see what happens. But Enoch, he didn't have to do anything like that. He was blessed with eternal life, and it didn't cost him a cent. But you know, it did cost Enoch something. But what did it cost Enoch? What did he have to pay to live forever? Well, he walked with God. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him away. Notice here that God mentioned Enoch walking with him twice. And Enoch's desire to walk with God, the second fill in the blank, so impressed God that Enoch got to live forever. But was that it? Do you mean to say that all Enoch had to do was to walk with God? I mean, it doesn't sound all that impressive, does it? It wasn't as if Enoch is being praised for the nations that he built or the giants that he felled or even the city walls that he destroyed. Enoch just walked with God. What's so remarkable about that? Well, it helps to realize that God has always put a high premium on walking with him. When God went and told Noah to build the ark, we are told in Genesis chapter 6, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. In Genesis chapter 17, we read that the Lord appeared to Abram, and he says to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. In 1 Kings chapter 9, it tells us of when God is talking to Solomon, and he told Solomon, and as for you, if you walk before me, as David your father walked with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. In Malachi chapter 2, we are told that Levi walked with God in peace and uprightness. And he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The point of all of this, the most important thing, one of the most important things to God appears to be that we want to walk with him. That's probably why Enoch is included second in this list of the heroes of faith. Enoch did the one thing that God so desperately desires from all of us. That is that we would be willing to walk with him. Just so we have a working definition of what it means to walk with God, it means that you spend time with God. The more time you spend with God, the better it is. I'm not just talking about showing up on Sunday mornings for the hour or the hour and a half that we're going to be here, or maybe even a midweek service or something like that. I mean, every day you spend some time with God, and you're willing to spend time with him. He becomes the center of our lives. Think of it this way. It's like spending time with a really close friend. The kind of person that you just want to be with, and you'll get him on the phone, and you'll ask him for all kinds of advice, and you'll talk to him, and you have a phone conversation that lasts for 2 whole days. Someone will know what that's like. And they're not even in here right now. So you're all looking around to see who it is. But you see, I think it's a little bit more than that. If I am going to walk with God, I have to agree to walk the same path that God walks. Have you ever seen somebody, I'm sure you have, maybe you've done it yourself, have you ever seen somebody and they're out walking their dog? And some people have this dog, and the dog will walk right next to them. And as they're walking, the dog is walking. When they stop, the dog stops when they stop. If they turn left, the dog will turn left with them. If they turn right, the dog will turn right with them. See, that dog doesn't even need a leash. They are walking with the person. But then there are other dogs that you couldn't get to stay with you for your life. They're off running around doing their own thing. You got a leash on them. They're going all over the place, and they're wrapping around trees and fire hydrants, maybe even around your legs, and you spend your whole time trying to get this leash out there. They take off. They're darting all over the place. That dog is not walking with you. He is doing what he wants, where he wants, whenever he wants. And yes, you have one of those, and he took off the other day when I was there. Ping! And Teresa goes off trying to find him. Lo and behold, he brought himself home a few hours later. Actually, it was like a half hour later. And she's still out looking for me. He's in the garage. All excited. See, we have to choose to walk with him. Now, many of you are going to get the idea over the years, if you haven't already, that I really, really love Tao. And I love spending time with him. We got to hang out with him. He spent the night with us on Friday night. But we go for walks. Taylor and I go for walks. He really loves to walk down the street, and for some reason, the neighbor down at the end of the street, he has this little miniature collie, and the collie's name is Sally, and Taylor will say, can we go to Sally's house? He wants to go down to hang out and to play with Sally a little bit. He likes to throw the ball, and Sally will chase after it, but the neighbor has this nice slope, a nice small little slope, and we will run down the hill and then back up the hill and down the hill and back up the hill, but I agree to walk with Taylor. And when I'm walking with Tao, I have to adjust my steps. I have to slow down and walk slower with him. And at times when we're walking, we'll have to stop, and he'll talk, and I'll bend down, and we'll talk, and we'll talk about all kinds of things around us. I have agreed to walk with Tao. And so I change my step to keep in step with him. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? So if you are going to walk with God, you have to agree to walk where he goes, to do what God does. Any of you remember Psalm 23rd, the 23rd Psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For you are with me. You know what that is saying? It's saying that when I am walking with God, I can walk through the darkest, through the scariest things of life. Wait, I skipped, didn't I? That's the fourth one. I skipped the third one. I went right through it, sorry. The third one was to walk. Some of you may have already figured that out. I'm going to have to get used to this. I have them all marked here. What you're saying is that when I walk with God, when you walk with God, you can walk through the scariest things of life, number four in the fill in the blanks, without ever having to be afraid, because God is right there with you. He will be with you wherever you go as you agree to walk with him. Jeremiah 16:6, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths. I just love that line. Ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. Now, there are a lot of people who have trouble sleeping. I am one of them. I've never slept very long. But a lot of times, we have trouble sleeping, and it's often because our minds are so cluttered. Sometimes they're cluttered with fears or with failures, with things going on, and we're trying to figure out how we can adjust things or manipulate things or move things to work into our favor. And you know what the problem with that is? The more you try to figure it out, the more your mind goes working. The more your mind works, the less you sleep. And we worry about things. We're trying to handle things that we can't change, that we can't do anything with. We'll never resolve them on our own. But if I am walking with God, It means that I am committing myself to turning all of that stuff over to Him and letting Him deal with it. He already can take care of it. He has no problem taking care of it. So why do I fret about it? But I still do. If you can literally turn it over to God and walk with Him, you can find rest for your souls. Now, you still may not sleep because World Cup starts in just a couple weeks and it's in Australia, New Zealand. But you can find rest for your soul. But how do you know if you are walking with God? Any of you want to know the answer to that? What measuring stick, what litmus test, what can you use to help you discover if you're doing things right, if you're on this path with God? Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. But what does that mean? How can I know if I'm walking in the Spirit? Well, that verse, Galatians 5:25, it is the very tail end of a passage that we call the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we need to make sure we don't confuse the gifts of the Spirit, which each one of us are given different gifts at different times and different places and things like that, with the fruit of the Spirit, which is what we're talking about. If we walk in the Spirit, we will get the fruit of the Spirit. Each and every one of us have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives if we are walking with the Spirit. And so the more that I walk with God, the more that we will sense the presence of the fruit, number 5, of the Spirit in our lives. As you are walking with God, as you are living your life in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit manifests itself, it produces itself in your life, and you will see it more and more producing itself the more you walk with Him. The last part. Well, let me go back to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Not are, is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Some versions say long-suffering, which might actually help to explain a little bit better. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I know we get them all in there, maybe jumble them up and stuff like that. It's just a mixed bowl of fruit, apparently. Against such, there is no law. So the more you're walking with God, the more you'll sense the fruit, more of those fruit will be evidenced in your life. And the last part of the fruit of the Spirit, it was self-control. It's actually brought up in 1 John. If we say we have fellowship with Him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so if I'm walking with God, I'm not walking in darkness. I won't be continually doing the evil things in my life that I've done in the past. I'll have self-control. I will walk in light just as Jesus is in the light. I'll have fellowship with other believers, other Christ followers, other Christians, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse me from all sin. That's what I'm shooting for. That's my goal. That's what I'm working with, trying to follow God, to walk with God, having the Spirit live in my life, living the Spirit-filled life. But the question is, when do you start walking with God? Do you have to be a Christian for a certain number of years? Do you have to take a Bible class? You know, you go to George Fox and they have the Holy Spirit life and stuff like that. You don't have a class there, do you? Nope. You know why there's no class there like that? Because you don't have to take the class. Romans 6, 3 and 4 tells us, all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ and baptized into His death, we were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. All you have to do is to confess Jesus Christ, is to accept Jesus Christ, to say, hey, I'm no longer going to do things my way. I want to walk with You. I want to do things Your way. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and you begin living the Spirit-filled life right then and there. You're walking your own way. You're doing your own thing. You confess Jesus Christ. You decide you want to change, and you change, and the Spirit is there. You are filled with the Spirit. And that means when you become a Christian, you have died to the past. You have put it all behind you. You bury it, you leave it behind, and you are hightailing away from it as fast as you can. You start walking with God right away. Now, there is the truth that you may mess things up as you walk with God. None of us is perfect. We all make mistakes. But once you get a taste, number 6 of the fill-in, once you get a taste of walking with God, you will never want to go back to the old way of life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And once you truly get a taste of Him, you want to keep going where He is going and keep living life in the Spirit. One last thing as we wrap it up. Probably one of the most important things. Do you remember the reward that Enoch got for walking with God? He got eternal life. He didn't die. So the question, do we get that same promise here today, right now? Can we get eternal life? John 11, 25, 26. Jesus, He is talking to Martha. And He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus, in His interaction with Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees who came to Him in the middle of the night in John chapter 3, Jesus says to him, you must be born again. You see, we have all been born, otherwise we wouldn't be here. We were born of physical birth, but we all need to have spiritual birth. And that is accepting Jesus Christ, confessing Jesus Christ. And once you have been born the second time, the spiritual rebirth, then you can walk with God. Then you have that promise of eternal life. The question that I have for you as we wrap this up is, are you walking with God? Have you chosen to walk with God? Have you adjusted your step? Have you adjusted your life to walk with Him? Are you doing that? And is the Spirit, are you living a Spirit-filled life? Is the Spirit manifesting itself? Are you producing fruit? That's what it's about. That's what Enoch did. That's what we should be doing. Are you living the Spirit-filled life? Are you walking with God?